brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, even as Christ has received you to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles and will sing to thy name." And again he says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, "There shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 10. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus, answering, said to them, "Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not scandalized in me." Then as these went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee.'" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we are at the second Sunday in this penitential season, second to four. And this penitential season is like not like Lent. Lent is a penitential season more of reparation, whereas Advent is a penitential season of preparation. But like it says in today's epistle, it's important to remember, or it's important to pay attention to the thoughts that Holy Scripture shares with us during these days of preparation for Christmas. First off, we have the two disciples sent by St. John to go and ask our Lord if he was the one. Is it because St. John didn't think he was or had a question about it? Not so. St. John had already pointed to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, he who comes to take away the sins of the world." That's him. That's the promised one. But St. John wanted his disciples to go and have that conversation with our Lord and to see the proof firsthand. The second thing is, when the two disciples leave, our Lord starts giving a sermon and uses St. John as an example. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A man in fine clothes? A prophet? More than a prophet. And I think that that's where we want to make the first parallel and ask ourselves the question, Do you think it would be possible, as we are as we are right now, that Christ would use us as an example to others? I mean, if we believe in what we say in Scripture about who we are supposed to be, could Christ use us as an example, as he used St. John? Or when we take a look at ourselves and examine ourselves, do we see a person full of pride and uncharity, judgmentality of our neighbor? Christ is a secondary thought, not the primary thought. I know, these are hard questions to ask ourselves. But it's time for us to stop playing games and placating our emotions and having a theology, a feel-good theology, and have a good, hard look at the reality of our relationship with Christ. We also have, John is in prison. Why is he in prison? Now, this is where it's going to be a little tough, but I think it's important for us to pay attention to this. He's in prison because of the illicit shacking up of Herod with his brother's wife. We live in a day and age where this is becoming more and more common. And if it was against the law of God then, it's against the law of God now. But for some reason, we think, under the guise of charity, quote unquote, that, well, we're not going to ruffle feathers and even give a nod of approval for somebody who has decided to go down that course. And the fact of the matter is, you can't. Christ says, you're either with me or you are against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. All Scripture, all written for our instruction. And two people, they go and they get married outside the church or just decide to live together. There is no way that we can say that that's okay and have that be pleasing to our Lord. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. If you promote me before men, I will promote you before my Father who is in heaven. And I think it's something very serious that we need to consider and to examine ourselves to make sure that we are not in violation. And that's where we as individuals need to look at ourselves and not play the game of, well, charity. And no, there's a thing called tough love. Parents need to have tough love to their children and tell them, no, you're doing wrong. If you continue doing that, you're going to go to hell. Or if you want to go to heaven, you need to do this, this, and this. It's tough love. It's the truest form of love. And when we're unwilling to have that type of love for our children, then I can't say that we're being good parents. Just like I can't say that I'm being a good parent if I come up here and give you a hunky-dory sermon every Sunday and make you feel good. No, my job here is to say we need to do this and we need to stop doing that. These are the commandments. These are the thou shalt's and these are the thou shalt not's. Not my gospel, his gospel. And what am I willing to sacrifice for it? Well, we have the example in today's gospel. St. John was imprisoned and on account of Herod's lust, lost his head and was martyred. What am I willing to sacrifice to promote Christ? It's a good question. Remember, the sermon that we're meant to give is first and foremost by our example. Christ says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. When somebody takes a look at us, when our children take a look at us, when our friends take a look at us, do they see Christ? And if we can't say that they can, then that's where we start to work. There are basically three themes today that we need to pay attention to. First, the epistle gives us hope. Second, fortitude. And third, example. Fortitude, strengthen what is right, to do right, and to avoid evil. This strength can only come to us by the Holy Ghost, and when we ask for it, it's one of His gifts. When we stir up the Spirit within us, then we have the strength and the wisdom to say what needs to be said, when it needs to be said, and how it needs to be said. Because it's not we who speak, but He who speaks through us. Hope. People have hope in a whole lot of different things. And true hope can only be found in one. And that's the good Lord. When you walked into church today and you genuflect, did you recall to yourself that you are in the presence of God? And if you have that faith, then you can have hope. The same Christ who St. John the Baptist pointed to and says, He's the Lamb of God. He's the one who comes to take away the sins of the world. The same words the priest uses at Mass, right before he goes into the three prayers before Holy Communion, and right before he gives you Holy Communion, two times at Mass. Because this is the Lamb of God. If we believe that, then we have hope. Because He's the solution to all our problems. He's the answer to all our questions. He's our hope. Emmanuel, God with us. And so as we prepare for this feast of Christmas, let us consider these things. A lot of people will spend a whole lot in preparing for Christmas in the exterior. And that's all fine and good, especially when you're preparing for the right reason, Christ being the reason for the season. But let us not forget to prepare the most important part of us, and that's our heart. Christ wants to be born again, anew, in a more perfect way in our heart, but we have to make room. We have to weed out stuff. We have to get rid of stuff. If we're willing to get rid of things and willing to make room, then we can have the joy that can come to us at Christmas. If we're not willing to, then we can't. But the choice is ours. So keep preparing. And maybe up to this point, we kind of sluggishly have gotten into this season of Advent. Well, let's change that. As a family, as individuals, start preparing ourselves for the birthday of Christ. And preparing the gift that we are going to give Him, the only gift that He really wants. And that's a place in our heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.